Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where we are making our way through the Indiana Jones movies, aren't we, Mason?
Making our way through the Indiana Jones movies. Something, something, going downtown.
Cutting a bridge.
Diddle-diddle-din. He's got a hat. You're absolutely right.
He does have a hat.
That's true.
And you know what I like about this movie?
What's that?
Because it's a prequel, some people might not know that, but it is true. He's just a grub. This grub, no lessons have been learnt, Indiana Jones.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He's a maniac.
You can regress the character. I see what you're saying. Hey, let's do a little exercise, James. Pretend you are...
Leaving a like on this video?
Yes.
Well, we shouldn't pretend. We should do that for real.
Yeah. But once you've done that, pretend you're a Paramount Studio executive in the 80s, and I'm Steven Spielberg, and I'm pitching you Temple of Doom. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so everybody loved the first adventure of Indiana Jones. It had everything that people wanted. It had action. Mm-hmm. It had romance. It had comedy. But you know what people would love for the sequel? Near constant screaming. Just relentless. Just like an animal is being slaughtered in another room and you can't close the door.
Now, are these screams going to be coming from like a singular person, or are we going to spread them out a bit?
Mostly one woman. Did I mention I'm getting divorced? I don't think it's related though. I mean, we'll share some of them around.
It's a bit related. We'll talk about why specifically this has a darker tone.
But goddamn, there's so much screaming.
There is so much screaming in this, yeah. But it's not just Kate Capshaw. I feel like there's enough to go around for everybody.
There's so many screams. There's enough screams for every man, woman, and child in this movie.
Yeah.
But you're right. To go back to your original point, yes, there's so much mayhem in this movie.
Yeah.
And he's yet to learn any lessons, and I think that's great. You know what I went into this? Because obviously, and we'll probably talk about it, there's some stuff that has perhaps not held up so well in
this movie. The bit where they're like, I can't believe India tried to revolt against the British in 1857 or whatever it was.
I simply don't think that's proper. But what I went into this going...
And the blackface.
Oh, you also
And the depictions of culture, etc.
Oh, all those things. But what I went into this going, okay, there's all that stuff, but there's also... It's just what I loved... I remember loving about it is it's just nonstop action. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I think it
Literally
is...
Literally at one point.
Yeah, I think it is for like an hour and a bit. And
like then the I'm last... Like, The back end?
No, the front end. And by that point, I'm just numb to the roller coaster,
oh,
I think.
Really?
It'd be like if you're on a roller coaster for 2 hours, by the last 30 minutes, you'd be like, all right, okay.
See, I think this one has some of the best Indiana Jones moments. I would argue that the cutting of the bridge is probably the best thing in all of these movies.
Disagree. But what I do...
But like the tension and...
Okay, yeah. In like a bridge... In a cable.
Sure.
Absolutely right. Oh, look, I think it starts really strong.
I love the James Bond callback.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's got the white tuxedo jacket.
God, he looks good.
And we're in Shanghai, and it's this, we're singing Anything Goes in Chinese. And oh, my God. And this 1930s formal atmosphere, and then it descends into chaos, and everything's exploding.
Yeah.
And everything's being shot with fire arrows and stuff, and bullets are flying, and incredible.
I love it where, like, a switch just goes off in him, and he's just like, well, I'm going to kill everybody in this room.
That's right. It says I'm allowed to on my archaeologist license. Why not give that a whirl? And it's just chaos. And that is undeniably good, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think this one really indicates to me, and we'll talk about this more next week, that he wasn't raised right. He's a fucking animal, this guy. Like, I know he dresses well some of the time.
Uh-huh.
But also, a lot of this movie, he's just got, like, his, like, shirt undone and askew.
Wow.
He's just, like, insulting everybody.
God.
He punches a woman in the face. I know he was poisoned. I know he didn't mean it.
Right.
But he could have exercised some caution, is all I'm saying.
They check the beaker later on and go, this is just grape juice. Wait a second. Oh, yeah. Just wanted to punch some people, honestly.
But I love how it does open with that. Like, it's very James Bond. You know, you're at the table, you're across from a villain. You're having this, like, mental showdown. But he doesn't, like, solve it rationally.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Again, he just explodes.
Yeah. Who here can I take hostage? Let's see. Who can I hold a knife to the neck to?
But I think this one, though, it does give him an arc.
Mm. That's true.
Not like the first one where he got an arc. Mm. I mean a character arc. Right, Mason. Uh-huh. Because by the end he's like, I guess I won't steal from this starving village.
Mm.
Like he makes that decision. I think that's important. It puts him on the right path.
That's true.
Eventually.
Mm.
Yeah. After all the murders.
Yes.
He does. Okay, so they also introduce another woman, which is, you know, becomes a trope of this series. Another woman that hates him.
Mm.
Which I appreciate. Look, I know Kate Capshaw gets grief for being annoying.
Mm.
But I like that she's the opposite of Marion, uh-huh. who was very capable and a hard drinker and, you know, like rough around the edges.
Mm.
It's almost like, and stop me if you've heard this before, the MASH effect.
Oh,
now, what the
go.
MASH effect is, Mason.
He's reading from notes. He planned this.
So in the TV series MASH,
mm-hmm.
which ran for 11 seasons, there was also a movie which came before that, but that it's mostly a recast except for Radar. When they swapped out somebody, they brought in the opposite of that character.
Go on.
So Colonel Blake, for example.
Are you going to do the exact same examples as last time?
Just listen. Mm-hmm. Colonel Henry Blake, mm-hmm. he was swapped out for Sherman T. Potter.
I'll be honest, I don't know.
Completely opposite.
I don't know if he's just doing the same ones again. I can't remember.
Trapper John McIntyre, mm-hmm. womanizer, swapped out for B.J. Honeycutt, more of a ladies' man.
Mm.
Frank Burns, incompetent bumbling surgeon, swapped out for David Ogden Steers,
mm.
more competent surgeon. I think that's what's going on here. And even though Kate Capshaw has said since then, I wasn't much more than a dumb screaming blonde. I think it's kind of selling what she's doing short.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
This is how it's written,
yeah.
And it's executed perfectly.
Very well. She came in and she did exactly what was needed on the day.
Yeah.
To blow my eardrums out for 2 hours.
What about this, though?
Go on.
Short round is incredible.
Absolutely agreed.
Love that.
From the little bricks on his shoes so he can drive the car.
Yep.
To everything he says and does.
I like, mm-hmm. and I never picked up on this before, even though it's really obvious, that he's one of the few people that Indiana Jones genuinely likes.
Right.
So there's a moment early on when they're on the airplane together and he lets him, like, fall asleep on him.
Mm.
And when they're in the village, Indiana mm. Jones...
Imagine a woman falling asleep on Indiana Jones. He'd be like, get off it! Get out of here!
Yeah! He'd have the whip going.
Where's my threatening fork? I gotta find it.
There's a moment in the village where Short Round is wearing his hat. Indiana Jones doesn't let his son wear his hat, which is right.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point that out. That's a correct. Uh-huh. That's correct.
Mm.
But Short Round feels like the son that he should have had.
Sure.
And does in a way. He's sort of his son, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, though, the way it worked. So Kei Hui Kwan, he actually went in with his brother just to encourage him and was sitting there like before the audition and was like, do this.
Oh my God, he stole the role from his brother.
And they saw him and went, you should go for this. And he beat out like 6,000 other kids.
That's the Mel Gibson story from Mad Max.
Is it?
Yes, I think so. Maybe it's not a brother thing, but didn't Mad Max come in to be an extra or something?
Oh, right.
And he took the role of Max from another guy swore revenge. I think all these guys should swear revenge. They should team up and swear revenge. I think they should start. They should go to Kei Hui Kwan and beat him up in an alley or something.
Well, he's a stunt coordinator. I don't know if they could. He's just like a little action pocket rocket. One of my favorite shots in this movie
mm-hmm.
is where it's in the same frame and you see Indiana Jones just beating the absolute piss out of that enormous dude. And you see Short Round just doing the same thing to a child.
Yes, that's right. Yes. That's often how they do it in the movie. You know, oftentimes you'll have the male hero, you know, beating up a big guy. And then there's a, you know, a female additional hero. And they're like, better do him having a girl fight. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
But he's
so why not a child fight?
But he's just like, he's really looks like he's hitting him.
Yeah.
It's great.
Uh-huh.
So people might not know this, which I find infinitely fascinating, Mason.
Mm.
But most of the stunt work in this, unlike a lot of the other ones, was not Harrison Ford because he suffered a herniated disc on the set of this. So he was flown out and production was shot down while he had spinal surgery. So Vic Armstrong, who's his stunt double on these first three, who looks incredibly like him, just does most of the stuff in this.
Mm.
Anytime where you can sort of see his face or not at all, it's absolutely not Harrison Ford.
Interesting.
And if you pay attention, you can tell.
This is where Harrison learned.
That's right.
Anything you don't want to do? Oh, herniated disc. Oh, I dropped a door on my foot. I can't be in a Star Wars.
Oh, I don't want to land this plane properly. I'll just crash it.
The perfect crime.
Yeah. It was apparently in that scene where he gets attacked by the assassin in the bedroom. Like, that was the moment where he, like, threw out his back.
I see.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I'm just going to agree.
Now, this one's quite dark, Mason, as mentioned. PG-13, does that mean anything to you? Well, it will in a minute.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I know it, you've heard of it, I assume.
Some supernatural themes,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, that's right. So, Spielberg and Lucas, George Lucas, who wrote this one as well, they were aiming for something a little bit darker than the first.
Makes sense.
But Spielberg thinks that they probably went too far. And the reason is, as mentioned, they were both going through breakups at the time.
With each other?
Yes. No, no.
Oh.
They're a collaborative duo, Mason.
Interesting. Okay.
And continue to be friends to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, you get like a heart getting pulled out. You get a kid getting whipped. You get other spooky, mean, culturally insensitive stuff.
Boy, you sure do.
And critics felt like this wasn't a kid's movie, but it wasn't quite an adult's movie. So this, paired with the release of Gremlins.
It's a kid-ult movie.
Very
good. Kid-ults.
That's great. I like that. You invented that. So this and Gremlins were the reason that they decided to introduce PG-13, because a lot of people thought at the time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Well, the only reason these got the ratings that they did is because it's Spielberg. So people were like, yeah, he makes nice movies for kids.
Oh, interesting.
But if anybody else had have released this movie that's just absolute insanity.
At time of writing, the Indiana Jones movies are about to be moved to Disney Plus. If people want to watch them, they're going to be available there for free.
Mm.
And oftentimes when an older movie gets moved to a streaming service, they'll put a little title card at the front that says, you know, this movie was made in a certain time and, you know, certain cultural things have changed and blah, 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 but we're going to present it to you in you know, as it was...
In 4x3.
That's right. As it was originally intended. But I think they should do, you know, sometimes when you're on a plane, they'll do a weirdly edited version of a movie, or like maybe for TV, they'll do an odd edit. I think they should run a sensitivity edit over this movie where they cut out all the questionable stuff, but they leave all the reaction shots in. Like the so the guy would be like, and for dessert... a big bowl of strawberry ice cream, and Willie's like, no.
I would love that.
I would love that also. The main course, just regular food. What? What are these people like?
Just eggs.
Can't come at eggs.
You know, a lot of times when they make changes to movies like decades after, I disagree. Yeah, but that should be done.
Mm. And I remember as a kid watching the bit where they cut open the snake and it's filled with more snakes.
Yeah.
Boy, very unpleasant.
Very unpleasant.
Viscerally unpleasant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bit.
You know what's not unpleasant, though?
It's that.
The situation with his glasses.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this last week. So we're trying to determine,
yeah,
for people who didn't watch the last video, whether he needs them for any specific purpose,
mm-hmm,
or they are, in fact, fashion specs.
Yes.
And what evidence have you unearthed this time around?
Well, the only evidence in this movie is that he wears them at dinner.
Okay, so they're dinner glasses.
Well, and the theory was that
they're after-dinner glasses.
Sure. And the theory is, or one of the theories that I saw was...
Oh, there's more than one theory.
That he didn't know what he was eating, so he just wanted to see what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't do any reading in this one, because he doesn't learn.
Yeah.
I mean, he eventually learns after all the killing.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like a decipher a thing or whatever.
Okay, so if you're saying so he wants to see the meal in front of him, that suggests that he is long-sighted.
Yeah.
And he can't see stuff right in front of his face.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Which, you know,
yeah,
is something
yeah.
to think about.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, I tell you what, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know you weren't necessarily a fan, but I love that finale where they're just like, let's just fucking burn this place to the ground.
Sure, okay.
And that moment where, you know, he comes out of his hypnotic trance,
mm-hmm,
and he goes down in the mines and you hear him strike that guy off screen.
Yeah, right.
And he just slides like 20 feet. How hard do you hit a man... Like, he's dead.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then the shot, like, of him, like, out of the darkness.
Yeah, look, I got to respect...
Come on!
Look, I got to respect the commitment. And, of course, you had to do it back then. If you were going to blow everything up, you just had to really destroy everything. Like, these days, this final sequence would not hold any of that weight because it would all be CG. They'd just be like,
yep,
CG bridge, CG cliffs, yep, CG temple, CG everything. You know,
CG of doom.
CG of doom.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Love the minecart bit. Like, it's ridiculous. It feels like it was designed to be a ride.
Yeah.
Like an attraction somewhere.
Did it later become a ride?
I believe it did, yeah. But again.
But it was just one of those ones where you just go up in a chair and then it drops you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, you're up the top. Imagine you're Indiana Jones and 3, 2, 1, clang. Drop.
But again, that bridge sequence, you know, like running onto it, he's cornered.
Mm-hmm,
he's got
mm-hmm
the machete.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I love all of that. The villain's terrific.
That's
and
true.
I know look, there's a lot of nonsense in it.
Agreed.
Like, for example, when they go on the plane.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's the gangster's plane. Like, mm-hmm, why do they fly that far and then jump out in the middle of nowhere to kill this guy?
That's a great question.
You could have got on and then they shot him.
While he was asleep, sure, yeah.
Like, how did they survive dropping out of the plane in the life raft? It's ridiculous.
It is, yes.
Mythbusters probably did it, Mason.
Yes.
And also, Indiana Jones, he flies from Nepal, mm-hmm, to Karachi on a DC-3. However, airplane travel to Nepal only began in 1949.
Uh-oh.
So it's ridiculous, Mason. Wow. There's also the racism. So these are things that I think don't necessarily hold
but
up.
But if you had to rank them based on the order in which you mentioned them, you'd say it's the aviation errors,
yep,
and then the racism.
I guess I had to, if I had to, yes. Yeah. Anyways, Mason, it's time for Indiana Jones and the Trivia of Temple. This is the part where we do some trivia. Here we go.
I love it.
Yes, Dan Aykroyd's in this. Yes, the Club Obi-Wan sign, etc.
Love all those.
You got to put those in because people will be like, did you not see that? I didn't. I missed it.
Yeah.
So apparently, to get through the bug sequence, Kate Capshaw, who also, of course, is married to Steven Spielberg. They've been married since the 80s. She took sedatives before filming that sequence.
Wise call.
I agree.
Mm.
So Pat Roach, who you might know as the giant Nazi who goes into the propeller,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
he returns. He's the giant guard that he fights.
Of course he is.
Probably didn't recognize him.
Mm.
You probably didn't recognize him, Mason.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, because of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the aviation errors. I was so distracted by the aviation errors that I didn't pick up on that.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Now, there's also a deleted scene of this, which... There's a very low-quality version you can find online, maybe because of the new one that's been released by now, but... While filming the whipping scene, the crew played a practical joke on Harrison Ford. So Barbara Streisand came out dressed as a leather dominatrix and she began whipping him saying, "That's for Hanover Street, the worst movie I ever saw," before continue whipping him saying, "That's for Star Wars and making all that money." And then Carrie Fisher came out and threw herself in front of Ford to protect him. And then Ivan Kershner, who directed Empire Strikes Back, chided director Steven Spielberg and said, "Is this how you run your movies?" Just a cavalcade of stars. God,
just a cavalcade of self-indulgent in-jokes. I love it. Anyway, that's what you call the Streisand effect.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Bit of fun, yeah. Something I think people are going to mention. Obviously, in the first movie, there's a scene where Indy is going to fight a guy with a big sword and then decides to shoot him instead. And in this movie, a similar scene occurs and he goes to shoot the guy, only to realize he doesn't have his gun.
He's got
on
no
him.
Gun.
And I'm sure people are like, that can't be a callback because they happen in, this one happens back in the past. But I like to think that he does that all the time.
Yeah, he does it all the time.
He just constantly goads people into sword fighting him and then shoots them. Like, that's his go-to move. He loves it.
I mean, if you look at Raiders, he's bored by it.
Yeah.
He's not like, look at this thing I thought of. He's like, right. Yeah, this thing I do.
That's right.
This thing I always do in all my adventures. Mm. Even the young Indiana Jones as a child, I'd be doing this.
That's right.
So even though this wasn't as well received as the first one.
Because of the aviation errors.
Because of the aviation errors. And of the first three, of the trilogy, which it was for the longest time, it's considered like the weakest. This, on a budget of $28.7 million, made $331 million worldwide, which was the biggest movie of the year.
Sounds pretty good still.
So yeah, it still did really well.
Yeah.
Look, I think if you did release this now, which you wouldn't,
because it's already come out.
It's already come out. They already made it.
Decades ago.
It wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's right.
What, Harrison Ford is like 90 years old and it's a prequel?
That's right.
Think about it. Think about what you're doing, Hollywood.
Come on, Hollywood.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things in this that people would not excuse.
Mm.
I think nostalgia, and this is me. I'm talking about me specifically also, brushes over a lot of the aviation errors.
That's right.
In this.
Nepal to Karachi and whatever, something, something time, something 1949.
Doesn't even make any sense, Mason.
Damn it.
God.
Mm.
But no, I think there's some genuinely classic Indiana Jones
moments. Oh, absolutely,
in this.
Yeah.
And what a grub.
Yeah. Look, it's not my favorite of the three.
Yeah.
But it's, you're undeniably some great moments. And I think especially the opening. I think it's worth the price of admission for the opening.
Yeah.
You can just wait till they get on the plane. They do the joke. See around Lao She and they get on the Lao She aviation plane.
Fun.
Then you can switch off.
Absolutely.
It's fine. But Harrison Ford would appreciate that, I think. If you went up to him and like, listen, Harrison Ford, I watched the first 10 minutes of your movie and then I switched it off because I knew the rest would be bad. He'd go, I respect that, actually.
Yeah. And are you talking about the movie Firewall, he would say.
No.
Nobody is.
Nobody is. And I respect that too.
Anyways, Mason, unfortunately, to get to the good one, we have to go through The Last Crusade next week. I know.
Oh.
I know people are upset about that. But look, if we're going to cover the first four.
That's right.
You got to go through it to get to the gold. You got to dig a little.
That's right. You got to dig down to dig up. That's what they always say. That's what they say in archaeology school.
That's true.
Dig down to dig up and you can use this gun to kill anyone you want.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that Indiana Jones, I think, took in. Just the gun thing.
Chapter 2 of the archaeology handbook. Here's how you take a hostage. You're going to need this.
But anyways, if you do want to see that early, and why wouldn't you?
That's right.
You can head over to BigSandwich.co where there's always early videos, where there's also a bunch of bonus stuff, including video game Let's Plays.
That's right.
Bonus podcasts, movie commentaries.
That's right.
As mentioned, early videos, including Caravan of Garbage. But also, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, where we always talk the big movie news of the week. And then the big movie of the week
whatever's happening. Which might be Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny something.
At some
something.
Point or whatever, right, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which everybody seems to, we're all excited for it equally.
That's exactly, yep. Mm-hmm.
Everyone, yep. Reactions
are uniformly positive. And it's going to make tons of money.
Yep.
People aren't going to be like, well, this was a huge mistake. This was a $400 million mistake. Nobody's going to think that.
Nah, least of all us.
That's right.
All right, thanks everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. And thank you to Lawrence also for the edit.
Thank you, Lawrence.
With a little help from Collings, if you don't mind me saying
so.
Oh,
thank you, Collings.
Mm.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.